Democratic lawmakers aren't the only ones worried about keeping climate change action alive in this new political landscape. Since President Trump's inauguration, the climate change page at the whitehouse.gov website disappeared, and Reuters reported that climate references were to be removed from the Environmental Protection Agency's website, though it appears that's been delayed as of Friday morning. Reporter Zara Hirji of Inside Climate News recently wrote about efforts by scientists and others to save climate data from government websites.
So describe this grassroots effort that you wrote about to archive environmental and climate data. Who is doing it? How many people are involved? And where is this happening?
Well, it's a pretty big effort, and there are essentially two parallel slash overlapping tracks. The first is to copy as much federal climate-related data off of websites and then copy them somewhere else on the web. The additional and kind of larger effort is to take or download kind of more comprehensive data sets that might not be as easy to scrape, that need a lot of context to go with it, and then they're going to be and are being uploaded onto a separate server. The downloading and then uploading onto a server project, the effort's called Data Refuge, and it's being handled by the University of Pennsylvania, specifically the Penn Program in the Environmental Humanities and Penn Libraries. But they're collaborating with a bunch of different universities, as well as other scientists and the general public. They held an event a couple weekends ago in Pennsylvania where more than 250 people were there to help with this archiving and cataloging project. And since then, there's been one in Chicago, Indianapolis, LA. There's one coming up in Ann Arbor, New York, and, you know, many more are going to soon be on the books.
Are these projects complete? Are they ongoing? Is this a race against time? What happens now that Trump's administration has taken over?
They are definitely not complete. My understanding is that this is going to be a very long process. And as far as I can tell from their calendar of future events, they're continuing, even though Donald Trump has now entered the White House and there's a new administration in charge. But I think they probably feel the pressure to work fast. The whole reason they're going about doing this is because there's concern that the Trump administration will either delete data or at least not make it publicly accessible. There's just so much data out there that it's not going to be a quick process. I think one of the people in charge told me this won't be all solved in a single hackathon. Some scientists are volunteering literally weeks of their time to help with downloading certain data sets that they work with. So I think this is going to be an ongoing process, but I have no doubt that they're, you know, attacking it with particular urgency.
So what kinds of data sets have been archived? What kind of information are we talking about?
The federal government researches and collects and handles so much climate data. Think about NOAA or NASA or the EPA. We're not just tracking, you know, CO2 level in the atmosphere, but also how climate interacts with species that may be on the mood, for example. I think there's no strict definition. They're looking at everything. And there's kind of too much. So they're going through this survey process of trying to identify which data sets are most vulnerable. And they're defining most vulnerable as not having a lot of backups, not being able to find it in a lot of different places. I know that at the Data Refuge Philly event, they were downloading data off of a couple hundred different particular pages or web pages within NOAA. But they've told me that this data can be found across departments, and in fact, there might be some surprising ones. You know, even the Department of Commerce has some climate data. There's the Fisheries Department, the Forest Department. And so I think the general goal will be to look at what data sets across all of these that they want to save.
The data, as you mentioned, are being stored on different servers. Who will have access?
The goal is for the general public to have access. I don't know if that's true already, but the point is to preserve this data so that people can access it if it disappears on federal websites. And they're being very strict about how one goes about downloading, saving, uploading the data, because they really want it to be in a very comprehensive and accessible way so that even researchers with the highest standards would be able to, say, source this data and cite it for their work.
Is there a precedent for this?
Not really. I don't think there's really been this large-scale effort to save U.S. federal climate data. I know that some people have in the past, and in fact, the Penn researchers are working with some of these folks that have tracked when there's a new administration, for example, that takes over during that transition time, you know, websites could be lost. This kind of transition, there have been people who have been cataloging it, but this kind of large-scale effort, I certainly haven't heard of it before.
Your article references a former Canadian prime minister who was a climate change skeptic and what climate information was like under his administration.
Right. When Stephen Harper was the prime minister of Canada, he's known among the science circles as being pretty anti-science. Under his leadership, the federal government in Canada really shut down how much interactions their scientists could have with the general public, with the press on issues like climate change.
It's already happening. As of this week, EPA has been asked not to answer questions from reporters or to use their social media. I can imagine people kind of working late into the night, kind of like an underground network of data savers.
Yeah. You know, at least when I'd spoken with the folks working on this a couple weeks ago, it was clear. I think they were very heartened by how many people in their local community, as well as nationally, wanted to be part of this effort. Other universities were reaching out to them, asking them what steps they could take. And I, you know, expect that this is something that will only get more traction as you hear the Trump administration taking steps like this.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Zara Hirji is a reporter at Inside Climate News. There's a link to her story at AlleghenyFront.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.